Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this is the introduction and greeting to this letter by Paul to Titus. And the phrase here in verse 1 that we underscored earlier is the faith of God's elect. The faith that God gives to those whom He's chosen to save. That's what it simply means. And what I would like to pursue this afternoon by God's grace is to consider yet a further facet of faith. And that is, what faith is not? What faith is not? One helpful way to define a thing is to consider what it is not. And by considering what it is not, we may examine what is true and make sure that it is so, and make sure that we know it in our own hearts. And my list here keeps growing. I think I'm up to 15 or so now, and I'm going to have to move quickly through each one of these. To repeat one point from this morning, faith is not a work. Faith is not a work. It is not a meritorious work. It is an action of the soul, but it is not a work in the biblical definition of works. Not a work that gains salvation. Not a work that grabs God's attention as if God is just looking down from heaven waiting to see who is the next person who's going to believe. And He sees somebody over here who believes and He's just elated and overjoyed because somebody finally believed and now He can save them. That makes faith a work, my friends. Faith is not a work. It is a gift from God, which is exercised in the soul of one as he comes to Christ. It is the very coming to Christ. Faith is not something that we stir up and then offer up and God pays respect to it. That is not faith. That's works. And you can call it faith, but if it smells like works, quacks like works, waddles like works, it's works, no matter what you call it. You can call it faith, you can call it grace. Let's make sure that we keep our definitions biblical and our whole understanding. Faith is not a decision, though faith is decisive. And faith is a decisive movement of the soul to Christ. Faith is not a decision per se. There are many people who make decisions, and they make all kinds of decisions. They decide to go up front. They decide to make a profession. They decide to pray a prayer. They decide to do whatever public action is called upon by a church or preacher. But many decisions fall short of saving faith. Faith is not a compliment that I pay to God. I heard a man say that who is considered, he's dead now, but he's considered to be a great evangelical leader. And that was his definition of faith. Faith is a compliment I pay to God. As if we were in a position to pay a compliment to God. Who do we think we are? Faith is not optimism, an optimistic feeling that everything will somehow work out for the better, and that there will be a better day. Atheists have optimism sometimes, but they don't have saving faith. This kind of optimism is often called faith after a natural disaster, when they interview the survivors and they say, well, we just had faith that we would make it through. Don't call that faith. Call it optimism. Call it wishing. Being hopeful, in a definition very less than biblical, of hopeful. To call it faith is to simply confuse optimism with the true faith of God's elect. After national tragedies, we hear so much about faith. It's our faith as a nation that gets us through these difficult times. It's not faith, not biblical faith. It's not a strong desire. A person can have a very strong desire. I really want this or that. I want such a thing or an object or a job, a promotion, whatever it may be. So I have faith that I will get it. That's not faith. That's a strong desire. Don't confuse the two. You know, these prosperity gospel churches teach people to visualize what it is you want. I had a fellow tell me once that he heard the preacher give his personal illustration that he had a certain car, a vehicle in mind that he wanted down to the exact color and the color of the pinstripes and everything. And he could see it, and he wanted it so much, and he had faith that he would get it. And he got it, supposedly. Maybe he did, but it had nothing to do with faith. It was a strong desire. It may have been covetousness, but it wasn't faith. If the thing that we desire and have faith for is not based on God's revealed word and character, it has no certain basis. And I want to underscore that and double underscore that. Faith is based on the promises of God, the word of God, either specifically or in a general way, as far as all that is revealed about God's character in Scripture. And I'm appalled at some teaching on faith that I have heard from some men who ought to know better, who would say just the opposite, that if the only faith you have is the faith that is based on the promises of God's Word, then you just have a little baby faith. Listen, there's no other faith that is faith. And the promises of God's Word are great, profound, and far-reaching. Faith is not merely a strong feeling. People can have strong feelings about all kinds of things. But for some reason, we think that if it's a really, really deep, strong feeling, it must be a spiritual experience that qualifies as faith. J.C. Ryle wisely said, "Doubtless there is no saving faith where there is no feeling, but feeling alone is not faith." Yes, faith involves feelings, and feelings follow faith and are involved, but feeling alone is not faith. How many today confuse an emotional frenzy with faith? Faith is not a strong determination, a dogged, stubborn will that it's got to be this way or it's got to work out this way. It's not a strong determination like we read about in the lives of inventors. You know, Thomas Edison, he was so determined to find the metal that would work, that would glow in those light bulbs, you know, and he tried, I forget how many different kinds, and he was just determined. He couldn't sleep at night. He had to find the way to make it work. And some would say he had faith. There is, in a place in North Carolina, an inscription on the Wright Brothers National Memorial. I've seen this as a young boy. And that inscription to the Wright Brothers says, "In commemoration of the conquest of the air, by the brothers Wilbur and Orville Wright, conceived by genius, achieved by dauntless resolution and unconquerable faith." And if you've ever seen that monument, it has various faces or sides to it. And they've arranged it so that the word faith is on one face by itself. I knew a man who positioned his camera in such a way so that the only word that you could read looking at that monument was the word faith, and seemed to think that that was a testimony to the Christian faith or the Christianity of great inventors. My friends, that's not faith. It's not saving faith. It has absolutely nothing to do with saving faith. It's determination that leads to hard work and diligence in experimentation. But let's not confuse that with faith. And I tell you, these people who make monuments and talk about faith and all, it's a disgrace. It does a disservice to the biblical teaching of faith. Faith is not a venture. And by venture, I mean a blind leap. You know, as if you're in this precarious place and there's no, you know, you're on this cliff, let's say, and you're on this little tiny place where there's no other place to go, and you've got a little foothold here, and you can't go up, you can't go across. The only way to go is down, and down is 1,000 feet into a body of water. You don't know how deep it is. And so, you just leap. You just jump. And they say, well, you know, I just had faith that that water was deep enough and that I would be able to hit it just right and so forth. Well, that's a blind leap. That's a venture. It's a risk. It's not faith. There is no risk in faith. There is certainty. There is confidence. There is the Word of God upon which we count, and God Himself upon whom we count. A confidence is very different than a risk. It's not a leap into the dark. It is a leap into the light. Faith is not a mathematical probability. I repeated what I had heard from others in my Arminian days, that faith is like going to the light switch and putting it up, and you have faith that the power will make the lights turn on. That is mathematical probability. If everything is done right, if the power company has done what they're supposed to do, and if the electrician has done what he's supposed to do, and if the light bulb is a good one and so forth, then you'll have light. That's not faith. The revealed wisdom of God is above probability. It is certainty. You know, you've heard the illustration of the acrobat that pushes the wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, or on a rope over Niagara Falls, and do you trust him enough to get in the wheelbarrow and go? Trying to illustrate faith like that, that's not faith. That's either mathematical probability of the skill of the man, or else just a risk, a foolish risk. Faith is not its own object. And this needs to be shouted from the rooftops today, because we have from other rooftops today the shield of faith. You can see it from our parking lot out here. And if you read some of the writings that they publish, you'll find one called Faith, or Having Faith in Your Faith. And you sort of convince yourself that you are convinced. It's like the dog chasing his own tail. It's not faith. It's like looking at your own hands instead of looking at what they grasp. Faith is not its own object. Nor is faith the demonic faith of James 2:19, where it says the devils believe and tremble. And what kind of faith is that? That is the faith of devils or the faith of demons. In the context of James 2, it is faith that does not work. It is faith, it is certainty of the existence of God and of His character, but they do not serve Him. They do not work for Him. And therefore, it is just a dead faith. And a man who professes to believe in Christ, but whose life does not show obedience to Christ and commitment to Him and service and worship of Him, he has a demonic faith. Faith, saving faith, is not historical faith. That's a term that writers have used over the years to simply believe that one named Jesus of Nazareth did live and did do great miracles and did teach great things, but I do not look to Him as my Savior, as my Lord. That's a mere historical faith. I'm sure that Herod had that kind of faith. Jesus appeared before him. He knew that there was a Jesus. The same way that people to this day may have faith that George Washington was the founder of our nation, or the father of our nation. But that's not to trust in him. It's a very different thing. It's not a historical faith. True faith, saving faith, is not a temporary faith. Luke 8:13. Parable of the sower, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. There is such a thing as believing for a while. A temporary faith that ends, that falls short of the faith of God's elect, which is after godliness and which perseveres. Those who have temporary faith never had saving faith. Faith is not believing that you are saved. Now listen carefully. Faith is not believing that you are saved. That touches more of the realm of assurance, but it's not faith. We do not come to Christ believing that we are saved or believing that we have been saved. We believe in Christ in order to be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I expect there are many people today in Sovereign Grace circles who would give almost anything if Paul's answer to the Philippian jailer had been, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have been saved. Or, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you've already been saved. It is a future tense. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A verse that explains it even more is Galatians 2:16, which says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We believe unto salvation. We believe that in order that we might be justified through the faith that has Christ as its object. The whole issue here, and I know we're cutting some very fine lines, but the whole issue here is, what is the object of faith? Is it that I'm convinced that I have been saved? Or is it that Christ is the one upon whom I rest? You see the difference? To trust in something that has happened to you is very different than trusting in the person of Christ. He is the object of faith. He is the one upon whom we trust. We believe on Him. There's no saving faith in believing that you are saved. I tell you, that kind of approach is almost as sloppy as the having faith in your faith that we've already mentioned. And if I might try to draw the lines even a little closer, the object of faith is not even that Christ died for you. The object of faith is Christ Himself. It's not to believe a particular idea or concept, but to trust a person who is the Savior, who did die for sinners and rose again and ever lives to make intercession for us. The song that we're going to sing after we finish is a good song, except it does leave maybe some room for confusion on this point, and that's part of why I wanted to mention it here. We're not told in Scripture, sinners are not told in Scripture, believe that Christ died for you. They're told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The person of Christ is the one whom we trust. And yes, His person is intimately involved with what He did and His work and what He accomplished. But it's the person of Christ. It's the faith of Christ that is saving faith. Faith that looks to Him. Faith of which He is the object. And so, again, I emphasize this. Saving faith is not assurance of salvation. faith should lead to assurance. And there is an assurance that comes when we believe and that comes upon believing. But faith and assurance are distinct items, distinct experiences. And after all, there are some, I fear there are many in our world today who have assurance, but they don't have faith. They have assurance of salvation, but they do not have the faith of God's elect. They are, and you can't talk them out of their assurance. I know I'm saved because I jumped through the hoop that the evangelist told me to jump through. And he told me if I would jump through it, I'd be saved. Oh, there's lots of strong assurance without true trusting in Christ. There is such a thing, you see, as false assurance. Let us make sure that we have true assurance, well-founded assurance, and true faith. And so, having seen here what faith is not, let me again emphasize what faith is. Faith is trusting Christ. Trusting Christ alone for righteousness. I keep coming back to this definition. Faith is a movement of the whole soul to Christ for salvation. It's looking to Him. It's depending upon Him. And thank God He does save. And He will save. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And keep believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep being saved. Let me explain what I mean by that last part. There is a present and ongoing, continuing aspect to salvation. We are being delivered. I see this and I believe this more all the time. I shouldn't say I believe it. I'm convinced of it. You know, so many people who are in the free will theology, they look to the success or failure of a sermon or of a service at the close, judged by how many people come forward. And if nobody comes forward, it was all a waste. It was in vain. All that work, all that energy and effort and time and preparation, all a waste. But if people come forward, it doesn't matter what they come forward for. Just if they come forward, then it was a success. And so these altar calls turn into whatever your need is, come up front. And some have sort of mockingly said, if no one comes, they finally say, if you love your mother, come up front. Because somebody's got to come up front for it to be a successful meeting. Well, whenever I'm in a conversation with one of those, I haven't had an opportunity to use this yet, but this is what I've got my guns loaded. I'm ready. I'm just waiting for an opportunity. I'm going to tell them, at our church, we have people saved every service. Every service. Because as God's people, as those who have believed in Christ, are strengthened in their faith and they renew their faith and they continue trusting in Christ, they continue being saved and continue being delivered. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And keep believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep being saved. Thank the Lord for Christ and for the gift of faith to lay hold of Him. Let's stand together, sing a closing hymn.